Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Contemporary Theories of Learning by Knut Illeris is an edited academic volume in learning theory, education studies, adult education, and lifelong learning. Rather than presenting a single doctrine, the book gathers major contemporary theorists who explain their own approaches to learning, making it both a reference work and a comparative guide. Its distinctive purpose is to place influential perspectives side by side so readers can examine how different traditions define learning, the learner, knowledge, experience, motivation, social participation, and change. Illeris is especially associated with adult learning, workplace learning, and a comprehensive view of learning that includes cognitive, emotional, and social dimensions. The volume is therefore useful not only as a survey of theories, but also as a map of the conceptual choices educators make when designing teaching, training, or research. It is best understood as a scholarly collection for readers who want direct access to the theoretical foundations behind contemporary educational practice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a comparative structure built around theorists speaking in their own terms. The central design of the book is its decision to let learning theorists present their own frameworks rather than filtering every position through one summarizing voice. This matters because learning theory is not a single field with one agreed vocabulary. A constructivist account may emphasize meaning-making. A situated account may emphasize participation, an adult learning account may emphasize experience and reflection, and an activity theory account may emphasize historically developed systems of practice. By placing these approaches in proximity, the book helps readers see both overlap and disagreement. The reader can compare what each theory treats as the primary unit of analysis, such as the individual mind, the learning situation, the community, or the activity system. This arrangement also makes visible how theories differ in their assumptions about agency, knowledge, development, and social context. The value of the collection is therefore not merely breadth. Its structure encourages analytical comparison, allowing educators and researchers to ask which theory best explains a particular learning problem, instead of assuming that all learning can be explained through one model. Secondly, Illeris frames learning as cognitive content, personal incentive, and social interaction. Illeris is known for a comprehensive theory that treats learning as more than the acquisition of information. His framework is often summarized through three interconnected dimensions: the content of what is learned, the incentive or motivation that energizes learning, and the interaction between the learner and the surrounding social and material environment. This framing is important because it resists narrow accounts that define learning only as mental processing or only as social participation. Content concerns knowledge, skills, understanding, and competence. Incentive concerns emotion, motivation, volition, and the learner relation to the task. Interaction concerns communication, cooperation, institutional setting, culture, and the practical circumstances in which learning occurs. The book reflects this broad orientation by including theories that illuminate different parts of the learning process. Its practical implication is that weak learning outcomes may not be caused by poor explanation alone. They may also arise from low relevance, emotional resistance, unsuitable learning environments, or limited opportunities for participation. Illeris, therefore, provides a useful integrative lens for interpreting the other theories in the collection. Thirdly, situated learning shifts, attention from receiving knowledge to participating in practice. A major theme represented in the volume is the movement away from viewing learning as passive reception of abstract knowledge. Situated and social theories, associated with thinkers such as Jean Lav and other scholars of practice-based learning, argue that learning is deeply connected to participation in real activities. From this perspective, people do not simply store information and later apply it. They learn by entering practices, using tools, observing others, contributing gradually, and developing an identity within a community. This approach explains why classroom instruction can fail when it is disconnected from the conditions in which knowledge must be used. It also clarifies why apprenticeship, workplace learning, peer collaboration, and professional communities can be powerful learning environments. The reasoning is concrete knowledge gains meaning through use, and learners understand concepts more fully when they encounter the purposes, constraints, language, and standards of a practice. In the context of the book, situated learning broadens the discussion by challenging theories that locate learning mainly inside the individual mind. It asks educators to design access to participation, not just access to information. Fourthly, adult and transformative learning connect experience, reflection, and identity change. The book is especially relevant to adult and lifelong learning because several included perspectives treat learning as a process shaped by biography, experience, and changing life conditions. Adult learning theories differ from school-centered models by recognizing that mature learners bring prior knowledge. established assumptions, work histories, social roles, and personal purposes into learning situations. Transformative learning, associated with Jack Mazero, is one important strand because it examines how adults revise frames of reference when experience challenges their existing interpretations. Other developmental and biographical approaches consider how learning can alter self-understanding, responsibility, and orientation toward the world. The practical insight is that adult education cannot be reduced to efficient content delivery. Adults often need opportunities to examine assumptions, connect new ideas with lived experience, discuss alternative interpretations, and understand why a learning task matters. This theme also explains why workplace and professional learning require attention to identity and context. A new competence may demand not only new techniques, but also a changed understanding of what it means to act as a practitioner, colleague, or citizen. Lastly, the book shows the usefulness and limits of theoretical pluralism in education. One of the strongest contributions of the volume is that it presents theoretical pluralism as necessary rather than as a weakness. Learning is a complex phenomenon, and no single theory fully explains memorization, skill development, professional formation, emotional resistance, identity change, collaborative practice, and institutional influence at the same time. The collection therefore encourages readers to match theories to questions. A researcher studying workplace learning may need concepts of practice, tools, and organizational context. A teacher trying to improve student engagement may need concepts of motivation and meaning. An adult educator working with major life transitions may need theories of reflection and transformation. At the same time, the book also exposes a limitation of pluralism. Readers must work actively to compare assumptions instead of expecting one simple synthesis. The volume is intellectually demanding because the chapters come from different traditions and use different vocabularies. Its benefit is that it prevents premature simplification. It teaches readers to treat learning problems as multidimensional and to choose theoretical tools with care. In conclusion, Contemporary Theories of Learning is best suited to graduate students, education researchers, teacher educators, instructional designers, adult education specialists, workplace learning professionals, and readers who need a serious map of modern learning theory. It is less appropriate as a first casual introduction for readers seeking simple teaching tips because its value lies in conceptual comparison rather than step-by-step method. The practical benefit is that it helps educators diagnose learning situations more precisely, instead of asking only whether content was presented clearly. Readers learn to consider motivation, experience, participation, institutional context, identity, and social interaction. The intellectual benefit is exposure to multiple theoretical traditions without reducing them to brief textbook summaries. Compared with many education theory handbooks, the book stands out because it emphasizes theorists explaining their own positions and because Illarice frames the collection through a broad understanding of learning as cognitive, emotional, and social. This makes it particularly strong for readers interested in adult learning, lifelong learning, and workplace learning, where real learning conditions are rarely separated from motivation, biography, collaboration, and practical activity. Its main distinction is not that it offers one final theory, but that it gives readers a disciplined way to compare competing explanations of how learning happens. If you would like to support Newt Illarice, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.